a lot of the things that are going on in the earth concerning death. When you look all around you, and I know, as I said, we had some people that we have known down through the years that have recently died, and a lot of times that is like a wake-up call for people. People start to think about the shortness of life. Life is short. I don't care how long you live it, it's still short. And it's so important to make sure you do what you're supposed to do with it while it is given to you. Lord, give us a life here in this body to see what we're going to do with it. Go over to the book of Job. Job chapter number 14. And starting at verse number 14.
If a man die, will he live again?
Right.
All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes.
So you see, based on this text, man has an appointed time to be here on the earth. I know people would love to the concept of living for a long time, but that's not the scripture. The scripture tells us that we have only an appointed time to be here on the earth. And it's, that time is already determined. It's already determined when we're going to leave here. Just like you have a birth date, you have a death date. It is already determined. You don't know when it is, just like you did not know when your birth date was. I was born on June 9th, so they told me. But I don't remember my birth date. None of us remember our birth date. Just like your birth date is unknown, your death date is unknown. But it's already fixed. It's amazing how you can see people, and you see them one day, and then they're dead the next day. And in your mind, you say, well, what in the world could they have done to avoid it, death? The fellas that got shot and killed last night, people have it in their mind, well, if they weren't on that street, or if they would have just stayed home, or if they were in another city, somewhere else, then they would not have died. But that's not scripture. The scripture says that the Lord have appointed our bounds that we cannot pass. So people say, well, they got shot. They got shot and they got killed. Well, many people get shot. Many people get shot all the time and don't die. But that concept of dying, that is already determined. That is already fixed. It is already established by Jesus. Jesus says that in, what did we say in verse number, were you in 14? He says, if a man dies, shall he do what? Live again. That's what we're focusing on in the church, is helping you to understand that, yes, you are going to live somewhere. When you die, you are going to spend eternity somewhere. And there's only two places to spend eternity at. It's either going to be in paradise or it's going to be in torment, in hell's fire, in conscious suffering. That's the wage or the payment for sin. So, but the question is asked by Job, if a man dies, shall he do what? Live again. And since I know, since I understand, since I'm being taught that I'm going to live again, I need to concern myself with how I live. Because how I live is going to determine how I'm going to die. Say, well, Discutter, if you're saying how I live is going to determine how I die, well, why should I be concerned about that? Because how you die, the scripture is already telling you, you are going to do what? Live again. So just because you die physically, that's just a gateway or a doorway that's going to be opened up into a place of what? Eternity. So you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And that whatever way out, whatever path, doorway in eternity that is opened up to me is determined by the life that I live here on this earth. Job understood that. And even when things got hard for Job, he was still focused on making sure that he paid attention to how he lived. Remember his wife? When things started getting hard, she said, just curse God and die. In other words, escape this pain, escape this suffering that you're going through. But Job understood that him cursing God and dying would cause him to go into eternity separated from Jesus. She wasn't focused on that. She was only focused on the suffering that he was experiencing during the physical life. But Job's mind went beyond the grave. That's how you and I got to be thinking. We got to go beyond what we are going through right now. One writer done told us this stuff is only temporary. All these things that we experience, whether it's happiness or sadness, money or being broke, having a good physical body or body that's broken down, all of this is only temporary. And we need to focus on the appointed time, the time that is already fixed, the time that is already determined when we are going to leave this earth. Some people will leave sooner than others. Everybody's not going to make it to 100. Everybody's not going to make it into their 80s or 90s. Some are going to die years before that. But, again, Jesus has already stated that it is an appointed time. Just like you got an appointment at a doctor's office, you got an appointment with death. You have to be ready when that appointment comes. You say, Elder Scudder, the doctors give me a little reminder card. Well, your reminder card is the scriptures. Your reminder card is the scriptures are the only reminder card that you are not going to get. That one day we are going to die. And one day we're going to have to spend eternity somewhere. A lot of times people don't start to talk about stuff like this until death comes. When people, no doubt, people that you've known that have died here recently, when you go to those funerals, certain scriptures you're going to hear, and Job is one of them. Job is one of them that's going to talk about that appointed time. And many preachers or many people are going to get before that dead body and going to remind the people that that person has met that appointed time. But I'm concerned about life before it. I want you to think about the time before the appointed time. What are you and I doing with that time? Are we wasting it? Are we living idle? Are we living as though there's nothing to be accountable for? In other words, there's no reward. There is no judgment for the things that we do or the things that we say. We got to be conscious about that. We realize that every work the Lord is going to bring into judgment with him. Go over to the book of Ecclesiastes really quick, the last chapter. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. 12 and verse number
13. Let us hear the conclusion.
Hear the conclusion. That word conclusion means the end. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, right? Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty, right? It's not your duty to participate in no Super Bowl. It is not your duty to be overtaken on tomorrow with hearts and candy and flowers. That's not your whole duty. You have to realize you were not created for this stuff. This stuff is a part of Satan's plan. You know, the video games, the football games, the casinos, all of these things are part of Satan's plan to get you to be focused on things that have nothing to do with your soul. These things don't help. These things don't prepare you for where you're going to spend eternity. If all they do is make you waste time. It makes that clock keep right on ticking, and you're not even paying attention to it. Not even realizing the next stroke of the clock might be your appointed time. And you should be asking yourself, what have I done to prepare for it? That's the truth. What are you doing to prepare for it?
Thank you, Jesus.
One thing is true. The Lord is already telling you your whole duty. The whole duty of man is to do what? Fear Jesus. Fear God and do what? Keep his commandments. Fear Jesus and keep his word. Keep going. Look, this is what you want to get it in your mind. When the enemy tries to tempt you to do something that's not like Jesus, you ought to have this embedded in your brain. What? That Jesus is going to bring every work, not just the things that you choose. He's going to bring every work into judgment with him. You're worried about how you treat the next fella. But David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. When he killed Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, Jesus took that as an attack against him. Why? Because Jesus was the one that created Uriah, not Bathsheba. Bathsheba was just married to the man. But you got to think about the man's creator. That man is out there shooting that gun at another fella. That is a direct attack against Jesus. Why? Because Jesus made that man. He said, all souls are who? Mine, right? Jesus said, all souls are mine. I don't have the right to take that fella's life. I don't care how horrible he is. Jesus already told you, part of his commandments is thou shalt not kill. That's what his word is. His word is to value life. Huh? Come on, the wage of sin is death, but his word is there to help you to value life, right? He didn't say he is come that you might die. He said, I'm come that you might have life. He's trying to teach you how to value it, how important life is. How you act, even when you eat that piece of chicken, that Lord is telling you, you will be thankful. Because something gave its life. Huh? That chicken did not want to die. But something gave its life for you to be able to live, right? Eat it with what? Thanksgiving. Huh? I know you've never thought about it like that. I know you ain't, your mind ain't even think about nothing like that. You'd be so quick to put that food in your mouth that you don't even realize something gave its life for you. Something died for that you might benefit from it. You're so quick to pass that thing along. Just so quick. We don't even think about it. But something died that you might be able to live. And the Lord says he's going to bring every work, everything that we do, he's going to bring into judgment with him. Right? Every what? That stuff that you don't think nobody know about. Them old sins that are swimming up in your brain. Jesus is telling you, you better deal with that stuff. You better cry out to the Lord and ask the Lord, take that stuff away from me. Huh? All of those evil imaginations. Those wicked thoughts. Huh? Those contrary thoughts. Those ideas that are against his will. Huh? Those ideas that are not in agreement with why I was created. Why was I created? To fear Jesus. And to do what? Keep his commandments. Anything outside of that, Jesus says he's going to bring that into judgment with him, right? That's the truth. You got to be very careful about these things, saints. Jump back over there to Proverbs, or to Job again. Job chapter number 14. It says, all the days of my appointed time, will I do what? Will I wait till my change come? Huh? What is going to happen? How does death happen? How does death happen? Huh? Do y'all believe this and understand this? How does death happen? Jesus says he calls you. Huh? Somewhere someone is in a hospital bed right now about to hear the voice of Jesus. Never heard his voice. Never paid attention to his voice. You're hearing his voice right now freely. And his voice is helping you to live. But that voice is going to be a voice of judgment to them. Huh? Don't you realize the Lord's word is like a sharp two-edged sword? One side is salvation, the other is judgment. Nobody wants to deal with the other side of Jesus, but the Lord is already telling you it's there, and it's going to happen whether you're ready or not, right? That's the truth. It's going to happen whether you and I are ready or not. Whether we say we finish the work, huh? Y'all realize the Lord could call me into judgment whether I finish every project in this church or not, and he's going to look at me and say, I gave you plenty of time. I gave you nothing but time to get the work done. But Jesus, I didn't finish. That's your fault. Huh? That's your fault. You let a day go by when you did absolutely nothing, right? You didn't do anything with the time. It was time that you could have come over here and finished what the Lord gave you to finish, right? But Jesus, I was tired. Jesus, I just wanted to relax. That's your choice. That's your choice. But the Lord said he's going to bring it all into what? Judgment with him. Huh? I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to wake you up out of sleep. I want you to understand not to waste this thing called time. Don't be like the fool. Huh? Go over to the book of Luke. Hold your finger there in Job, because I'm coming back to it. Job, Luke chapter number 12, starting at verse number 16. Luke 12 and 16.
The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful.
Mm-hmm. Now that means somebody had to work.
Right.
Lord done told you can't nothing come out that earth until you go out there and toil it.
Mm-hmm.
That means this man went out there and worked.
Mm-hmm.
Either he worked or he had people he hired. Mm-hmm. He spent money
mm-hmm.
for people to get out there and toil that ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the results of it was plentiful.
Right.
Huh? That's why that lets you know some people are going to do very well in this thing called life. Why? Because they're going to spend their days working very hard. And as a result of that hard work, they're going to bring forth something from it. Huh? Come on. That's the truth. Hard work reaps good pay. That's right. That's the laws of the harvest. You can expect good pay when you have a mind to do what? Work hard. You sit around and do nothing. Don't look and get upset. Because you don't make nothing because you ain't working for it. But if you got a mind to go out there and work hard, you can expect a good pay from it. Not only does your pockets benefit from it, but your body also. Your body will be well tuned, well defined, so that when you get up in your old age, your bones won't be so brittle. Your muscles will be tight, right? That's the truth. Won't be so flabby. Huh? You worked hard, right? Hard work reaps hard, good reward, good pay, right? So a certain man was a certain rich man whose ground brought forth plentiful.
And he thought within himself, What shall I do? Because I have no room.
Yes. Ain't that something? Someone would look at that and say, this man is blessed. Here he is. He's got storage, got room, got a house, but he has no more room to bestow, to place all of his goods.
Yes.
Huh? Many of us are like that. We run out of closet space. We run out of storage space. Huh? Why? We don't have no more room to put any of our goods at. Sometimes I go over into that arts and crafts room and I look at it. I say, well, Lord Jesus, we have no more room. We got markers on top of markers and crayons on top of crayons. It's a blessing, isn't it? One day we didn't have all of those tools, all of those little resources, but now we got a lot of it. Huh? And my mind is on fixed. I said, well, Lord, I need to buy some more storage bins so I can see if I can store it here and store it there. No room to put all of the goods. That's how that rich man was. He had no room to put all of his goods. Huh? That was a blessing. Most people would look at that stuff and say, he's blessed. Some people would look at us and say, you all are blessed. But when you look at what Jesus says, Jesus saying, is not life more than this stuff? Is your life worth more than this stuff? My life is worth more than a couple of markers and some crayons. My soul is way more important than this stuff that I can carry in my hand, right? And you ought to view your soul as more important than all of this stuff that you can put on your body, the stuff that you can put in your belly, the things that you can clothe yourself with. You're worth more than this stuff, right? That's true. So you're worth more than this stuff. And I know the enemy would love to make you frustrated. Get you all worked up and upset about things that don't really mean anything. Huh? You realize that the earth, it belongs to Jesus. Earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The world and everything that dwells in it. Huh? Come on. People seem like you, when you say, saints, make sure you pay your tithes and your offering. Folks get an attitude with you. So what are you talking about? Give me a tithe and my offering. What do you don't belong to you? None of the money in your pocket belongs to you. It all belongs to Jesus. How could you say that, Elder Scudder? He's the one that gives you the strength to do what you're doing, right?
Without Jesus' strength, you couldn't do your job. Huh?
You
could not do your job. He's the one that gives you the breath and the activities of your limbs, right? That's the truth. Lord can shut down the whole operation. Huh? He can cause your job to be no more. And then where will you find money? Huh? Then you'll let the devil jump in your mind. Well, I got to go do something to make something happen. You've got the devil inside of your mind. When you just didn't do right by what the Lord gave you in the beginning.
Thank you, Jesus.
You did not honor him. Huh? The whole duty of the man is to do what? Fear him. Don't you realize when you pay your tithes, you're showing Jesus respect? Huh? You're saying, Lord, you brought this into me, and I honor you with the first fruit of my substance, right? 10% is what the Lord asked for. He don't ask for all of it. He only asked for a tenth, right? Huh? It ain't yours. Huh? Do y'all understand that? If Uncle Sam got enough wisdom to get his, you need to have enough wisdom to give Jesus what belonged to him, right? Huh? You don't go pay your tax if you want to. Enjoy all of that for the whole year. Then watch Uncle Sam take it from you. Huh? So I ain't going to file no. Don't file him. Uncle Sam will find right where you at. And he'll garnish every dime that you got, right?
Amen.
I ain't going to work no more. That you the loser. I'm going to do under the table work. You the loser. Because if the Lord lets you see 60, you're going to go try to apply for Social Security. And they're going to tell you there's nothing in there, right? Nothing in the bank for you, right? But what am I supposed to do? I don't know. Huh? See how people be scheming and trying to get by. It catches up with you. It catches up with you. You're not going to get by Jesus. He done told you, I've already appointed your bounds. Huh? I've already established your boundaries. And you're not going to pass. See, you think because you can get through life as a little slickster and a little hustler that you're going to hustle your way into eternity, right? You are a fool, right? Jesus says, I am the door, right? You got to come through who? Me, right? You can't come up another kind of way. You got to come through me, right? Huh? Whole lot of strong people have become weak when they come to the door of Jesus. Whole lot of folk that wouldn't cry in front of nobody. Boo-hoo and cried out everything inside of them when they got before the door of Jesus. And Jesus shut that door. Huh? Look at this rich man. Jesus is going to shut the door on him, right? And he was a crybaby in hell. Huh? Crying on the wrong side of the grave, right? He was a crybaby right in hell, right? But he had no one to wipe his tears, right? That's a sad thing to be in, isn't it? You be crying out in the wrong place. Here it is. The Lord is trying to get you to learn how to cry out. Huh? This poor man cried and the Lord heard it. You don't want to be at a point where the Lord don't hear you.
Hallelujah.
The Lord give you an opportunity to cry out? Cry out to Jesus. Lord give you an opportunity to pray. Get on your knees and pray. Lift up holy hands to Jesus. Let the Lord know I'm submitting myself to you, Jesus. I give over to you, Jesus. Not just some of me, all of me, Jesus. It all belongs to you, right? My soul say yes to you, Jesus. Yes to your will. Yes to your way, right? No more I, but let you be Christ. Let you be God of my life, right? Come on, read a little bit more of that. Read a little bit more. This man was blessed according to the words, according to the world standing. He was blessed. He had so much he didn't have room. Huh? He thought within himself, I have no place to bestow my goods. Huh?
Verse 18, and he said, this will I do.
Yep.
I will pull down my barn.
He was a planner. He was a planner. Huh? He had a plan. See, we get so overtaken by these folk coming on in front of us. You just need to have a financial plan to take care of your future. You be all, look at what I have. See, I planned and I was able to get this house. I planned and I was able to get this car. I fixed my credit. I did this. I became my own boss. I had my own money. And we get so overtaken. We say, oh, I need to follow behind them. They got a plan, but it ain't got nothing to do with your soul. Huh? It's going to help you here on earth, but it will not help you in eternity.
Jesus, Jesus,
huh?
Jesus,
will not help you in eternity. Having good credit has nothing to do with you getting out of hell. Huh? No. Don't you let the devil fool you. Just because you got good credit, that has nothing to do with you getting out of hell. You must be born again. Born of the water and born of the Lord's Spirit. You've got to have the Holy Ghost, right? That is Jesus Christ in you. You've got to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. That preacher has to have the authority to baptize you in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. For the what? The remission, the removal of your sin. You got to have both of those keys. Both water and spirit. There are no substitutes. Jesus said, if you don't do it, you shall not see it, nor shall you enter into it. Huh? Come on. Was this rich man focused on water and spirit? No. He had a plan, and he was willing to execute that plan. But it had nothing to do with his soul, right? That let me know it's a whole lot of people out there. Got all kind of ideas, but it ain't got nothing to do with your soul, right? They're not soul focused. They ain't soul focused. Huh? They're not soul focused. They focus on everything but what they need to be focused on. Huh? Health regimen. Nice bodies. I want to show you their bodies. Look at me. Huh? I got a six pack. You can have the same kind of six pack that I have. If you just do what I do. All day long, they spend their days in the gym, looking in the mirror, flexing, worrying about their body, how they look, huh? But their soul is skinny, huh? Their soul is starving, huh? Soul is starving. Soul ain't been fed at all, huh? Soul ain't been fed at all, huh? That's the truth. You look at that Jeff Bezos, fellow the richest man I believe in the world, maybe right now, I don't know. Elon Musk, richest people in the world, I don't know. But at the end of the day, the people look at him and idolize that life. They say, well, I just want to be just like them. If I could just have a little bit of what they have. But then they look at somebody that's living for Jesus, they don't even say they want to live that way. Huh? I got the Holy Ghost. I got a mind to want to live for Jesus. I don't have anybody walking by saying, I want to be just like that. Huh? Why? Because Elder Scott ain't got no money. I'm working just like the next fella's working. But I'm telling you, I've put a priority on my soul. Huh? My soul is more important than my pockets. Huh? My soul is valuable. I try to keep it before my children. Focus on your soul. Don't focus on the stuff of this earth, because this stuff is going to pass away. But your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere, right? And you've got to prepare for it, right? Just like you got a plan for everything else, you got to have a plan for your soul. Huh? Oh, yeah, you got to have a plan for your soul. No matter how you feel, no matter what's going on in your life, you got to be motivated. You got to be moved. Huh? To move for the sake of your soul. Huh? Ooh, if I could just get it fixed into people's minds to do it for the sake of your soul. That means if I don't care how you feeling in your body, do it for the sake of your soul. Say, I don't have the strength. Crawl. Why? For the sake of your soul, right? Why? Because you've got an appointed time, right? And you're getting out of here, right? You can spend your days laying up on a hospital bed if you want. But you better find the strength to get on your knees and cry out to Jesus. Huh? Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to him when he says, Elder Scott, I ain't got no strength. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to him in your mind. If your mouth ain't got the strength to utter Jesus, let your mind cry, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Why? Because you're focused on your soul, right? You're focused on your soul. Huh? You want your soul to live. And the only one that can bring life to your soul is Jesus. He said, I am come that you might have life, right? He's the only one that can bring life to the soul, right? You ought not want your soul to die. I don't want my soul to die. I want my soul to live. Huh? That's the truth. That's why I stick right with Jesus. I stick right with him. Stick right with him. Whether you come or whether you don't, I stick right with Jesus. Why? Because he is my life. Huh? I want him to know that I'm not willing to accept a substitute. I'm not looking for an alternative way. Huh? I believe that Jesus is my life. Huh? That's the truth. Some folk have abandoned Jesus, thrown Jesus to the side, all because they want to benefit in this life. They want to move forward in this life. But they're forgetting you're going to come into judgment with Jesus at that appointed time, right? And what do you want to be said about you? What do you want the Lord to say about you? Huh?
Yes.
Lord got feelings.
Jesus, Jesus.
He has feelings.
Yes, he
does. He has feelings.
Jesus.
He knows what it is like to walk in this flesh.
Jesus, Jesus.
And he knows what it's like to deal with a devil that is trying to destroy you. Huh?
Yes, Lord.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. Just like we're tempted, he was tempted. He saw naked folk just like you see naked folk. He saw rich people just like you see rich people. Yet he did not sin. How to let me know I can go through this life and do right. I can live right, right? If I just have a mind to want to do it, you can live right. You can make the right decisions. You can do what is right. Don't let nobody tell you you can't. You can do what's right. Tell the scut I got a cussing tongue. You can stop that cussing. But you got to have a mind to want to do it. You can stop that cussing. You can say from this day forward, not one more cuss word is going to come forth out of my mouth. And you'll be determined to live that way, right? You can do it if you want to do it.
Thank you, Jesus.
You want to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, but it's up to you. That rich man made a choice. He made a plan. He said he wanted more, and he did it. I'm trying to tell you, don't be fooled like that rich man. Wasting your time to get more. Why? Because you're going to do it. You're going to do it, but at the end of the day, where will your soul be at, right? You can go out there and sleep with 1,000 folk. You can do it. The people got medicine to help you do it, to help you to get the strength to do it. But where will your soul be at?
Thank you, Jesus.
Ask Wilt Chamberlain. What is he known for? Not his basketball dribbles. Huh? But for all the women he slept with. But he's dead now. And ask yourself, where is his soul at? What did he accomplish by doing all of that? Huh? Where do fools think like that? Oh, he was living. Is that living?
Thank you, Jesus.
I guarantee you, if he can trade one more second to get his behind here on this earth, he'll be crying out to Jesus. I'm telling you, that's what he'll be doing. He'll be crying out to Jesus. That rich man, when he got into eternity, he asked for help. Huh? You're going to read, he asked for help. Send Lazarus to cool my tongue. He wanted help. But there was no help to be found. Cry, baby, in hell. Huh? It's the wrong place. You better say, let's go. I don't want to see nobody see me cry. You better be a crybaby here on earth. You better not be no crybaby in hell. You better learn to cry real loud right now. People going to look at me and laugh. Let them laugh. Huh? Let that sinner laugh at you. One thing I've learned, Jesus said he'll turn your tears of sorrow into tears of joy. Jesus can do that for you. He said he'll wipe every tear.
Oh, yes, he did.
Huh? That's scripture. For those that cross over into eternity with him, he said he will wipe every tear from your eye. I'd rather be with Jesus than to be in hell with nobody to wipe my tears. I'd rather be with Jesus. I'd rather be with the Lord to wipe the tears from my eyes. Right? Come on, that's true. Read a little bit more. He said, this will I do. Yes.
And it says here, I will pull down my bones.
Yep.
I'm going to feel greater.
Yeah. You know, you got folk that got that kind of attitude. Yeah, to do it better than the next fella. You look at these houses that are in the city. You got a row of two-level homes. Somebody finds a lot. And they say, I'm going to go up to the three. Why? Because I want everybody else on this block to know my house is greater. Huh? That's the attitude that they have. Huh? You see the people, the architects, want to build these skyscrapers in the city. They're trying to find a city that'll just let them build the biggest building. I want the building to be tall so that the office that sits on the top floor, they can pay the most rent for that office and make they have that attitude as they go up in the elevator, that they are better than all of those that are beneath them, right? Better, greater, huh? You see the kids when they get the latest tennis shoes, they walk outside the store, huh? And then every time they step and they reach down and start to work. They even take the spit out their mouth and lick the side of their shoe. Why? Because they want you to know that they are greater. Huh? Greater than everybody else around them. They want all eyes on them. Huh? But this is what they choose to do with the time. They don't even realize the Lord could call you in your brand new sneakers. Huh? No doubt in my mind, them drug dealers that got shot all down through the years, I'm sure they were looking real good. Pockets full of money, flashing themselves to be the better. But when Jesus takes the whip out of them, when Jesus takes back his breath, whose stuff does this stuff belong? They will strip you naked, right? The crackhead will come and take your shoes. Crackhead see you drop dead. Everybody start running. He's in the bushes. He ain't afraid to jump over your body. Folk you despise. People that you look down on. Come by and pluck you dry. Do y'all believe that? Oh, yes, they will. The very ones you don't want in your stuff when you're dead, they're going to be at the door to pluck you dry. The very one you're trying to keep out your house, that's the one that's coming when you die. It's true. Ain't going to get everything you got. And think nothing about who you are. That's the truth. So it's best for you to wise up. Get your mind straight. Put the true value on life. This stuff is worth, it means nothing. I know you. I'm not trying to tell you not to love nice things, but I'm trying to tell you, you better condition your mind to say something is great, worth more than this stuff. You can spend your days, if you want, looking to do, looking to be better, all you want. Read a little bit more.
I'll
pull out my barns and build up greater. And now that's where I'm going to put all of my fruits. Yes.
And I will say to my soul.
Thou
hast much good.
Isn't that something? He was talking to his soul. That mean the soul was talking to him and he was talking back to his soul. We call it a conscious. That thing that be bothering you in the middle of the night. After you finish doing something that you know you're not supposed to do. That thing is in your mind and say, you know you shouldn't be doing this. You know Jesus is not happy with you. You know the Lord is not pleased with this. Do you know you're going to go to hell? You're doing things that put you in hell, right? That's that conscience working on your mind. And what do? You try to shut it up. You try to turn on the television. You try to go play games and get in conversations. Stuff that you know to try to silence the soul. But your soul say, I will not be silent. I will not be silent. There is no peace inside of me. Therefore, I cannot be silent, right? That's true. Lord, I told you there's no peace, says my God, to the wicked. That soul does not want to be categorized as wicked. That soul wants to be at peace with God. Isn't that the truth? That's why that soul wants to be justified. Because that soul knows that the righteous judge is coming for him, right? Yeah, that soul knows it. That soul knows the righteous judge is coming for him. That soul knows you did not make it. That soul knows your mom and your daddy did not make it. That soul knows that Jesus is the one that made him. And that soul knows that Jesus is coming. That soul sees stuff that you don't see. That's why you have bad nightmares. That's why you can't be at peace when you should be at peace. Why? Because that soul sees something you don't see, right? What does that soul see? That soul sees the hand of the judge coming. Huh? Oh, yeah, that soul sees the hand of the judge coming. That's the truth. He's got his arms stretched out. Huh? And he's on its way. He's on his way to snatch you up. Huh? Oh, yes, he is. The righteous judge is going to come through the earth one day with your name on the list. And no matter where you are, he's going to snatch you up. Huh? When? At the appointed time, right? Huh? You ain't going to be able to add no more to it. Huh? I don't care how much medicine the doctors give you. You're not going to be able to add no more to it. Huh? I don't care how much oxygen they put in your body. You're not going to be able to add no more to it. He's going to call. And the writer says, you're going to answer. Huh? He's going to have a desire for the work of his hand. Huh? What is the work of his hand? Your body. He is the one that made you from the dust of the ground. He formed you from the dirt of the ground. Breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. And you became a what? A living soul. You say, Elder Scudder, that was Adam and Eve. No. You're still dirt. Huh? But what about that fetus in the mother's womb, who they said an egg is the size of a pin top? That's all a gram of dirt is. If you look at the gram of dirt, it's the size of a pin top. Huh? So Jesus just put that gram of dirt in the mother's womb. Huh? And he gave that gram of dirt life. Huh? He breathed into it the breath of life, right? It became a what? A living soul, right? Doctors say it's alive. How do you know it's alive? It's got a heartbeat, right? Huh? Who gave it a heartbeat? Jesus. Huh? Not your mom and your daddy. Jesus did that, right? Jesus gave that little gram of dirt a heartbeat. Huh? And without your any control, without any influence by you, that gram of dirt just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Huh? Starts to get all of its limbs. That's why David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, right? He knew all my members should be at when I was nothing, right? But what? Just a speck of dirt, right? Just a speck of dirt. Huh? Here you go trying to change what Jesus made. He made you the way that you. He wants you to be. He just wants you to fear him, right? Respect him. Let him know, Jesus, you did a good job. Huh? Jesus, you did a good job. And I'm happy with what you have done. Huh? Folk may not like it, but at the end of the day, I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to please the one that did what? Made me. Huh? You did not make yourself. Jesus made you. And you ought to be grateful. Huh? You ought to walk around in the earth grateful that he made you to be able to do what exists on his earth, right? For however long you're here, he put you here to exist on his earth, right? That you might learn how to do what? Fear him. And do what? Keep his commandments. This is the what? The whole duty. The Lord is going to bring every work into judgment. Even our very secret things, he's going to bring into judgment with him, right? Who did not understand this? This rich man, whom the scriptures are going to call in the next verse, a fool. Do you want the Lord to say that about you? Do you want the Lord to look at you and say you are a pure fool? Because you did nothing with what I gave you? He said to his soul, soul, take thine ease.
Much goods laid up for many years.
Yeah.
Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.
See, he thought his soul was equivalent to his body. See, that's what most folk get twisted. They get it confused because all you do when you look in that mirror is see your body. But it's something far greater in that body that's going to spend eternity. Huh? Yeah, this body is wrinkling up. It's going back to the dirt where it came at. But it's something that's alive inside of you. Huh? That is not going back to nobody's dirt. Huh? It's going over into eternity. Somewhere, right? And it's eternal. Huh? That soul is an eternal being, right? Meaning it's going to spend eternity somewhere. Huh? He tried to talk to that soul and say, soul, I have much goods laid up for you for what, year? But the soul wasn't concerned about years. Huh? Soul ain't concerned about years. Soul is concerned about eternity. It wants to spend eternity in the right place. Does that make sense? I hope you do. Because a lot of fools talk just like this. They think that their soul is equal to their body. And they try to treat their soul like they treat their body. But the body is going back to the dirt. Huh? But the soul is going to spend eternity. Huh? Isn't that something? Something to think about. Read a little bit more.
But God said unto him,
thou fool.
Yeah. This night thy soul shall be required of thee.
Uh-huh.
Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?
Yeah.
So is he that layeth up treasure for himself.
What is this fella focused on?
Himself.
Huh?
Yeah. And it's not.
Ain't think about you. Ain't think about you. He's only, the world, the sinner, is focused on themselves. See, I just got it, but they are so nice they do for me. I'm trying to tell you. They're focused on who?
Themselves.
What they can get out of it. They're not focused on you. You mean absolutely zero to them. Huh? And you say, I just got it, what you're talking about. You don't know. Go get in the death situation. Go get in the death situation. Let a lion come running down the street. Huh? You're going to see folk that couldn't run, run. And leave you right there on the ground. Huh? Why? Because it's a natural instinct. Huh? I want to preserve my life, right? Huh? Folk got wheelchairs. You're going to see them hands roll them chairs real quick. They'll beat you with your 2 feet. Because they're trying to do what? Preserve life. Huh? But the what is the problem? The fool. Huh? The fool is focused more on the body than he is on his soul. Huh? I'm done. Go over to Luke chapter number 16 and let's read a little bit more about this rich man. Luke 16 and 19. A little bit more about this rich man. Same man. Don't get it twisted. It's the same man. Same man. Same man. First man was focused on his goods. This one is focused on what he's putting in his belly. What he's got on his back. Huh? The scriptures called him a certain man was what?
The rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen.
Yes.
Fared sumptuously every day.
How long?
Every day.
Isn't that something?
Uh-huh.
So that lets you know the devil, he'll keep you busy.
Yeah.
Say, I just got, I need something to do. Devil keep you busy. Devil will keep you real busy. He'll keep that mind occupied. Huh? Because he knows one day time is going to run out for you. And he will move on to the next one, right? Huh? You think the devil sit there over your dead body? Say, oh, if I just had a little bit more time to work with on him. I had so much more sin that I could have had him to do. You die. The devil see the breath go out of you, he move on to the next one. Huh? He move right on over to the next one. Devil don't care about your stuff. Huh? Devil just, all he wants you to do is cross over into eternity with no Jesus. Huh? He determined he ain't going to be in hell by himself. Huh? And he definitely wants you to be right there with him. You especially. Because you know better. Them all the demons out there, they don't know better. Other sinners that don't know Jesus, he ain't worried about them. He's worried about the ones that know Jesus. Cause he can mock. Huh? You're going to be the main one in hell. But everybody else is going to say, we didn't know Jesus, but you knew him. Why are you down here with us? Huh? Something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. Read a little bit more.
And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus.
Yeah.
Which was laid at his gate full of sores.
Yeah.
And desired to be filled with the crumbs.
That's all. He didn't want the rich, the man, the righteous person doesn't want riches. We don't seek after that stuff. We don't seek after the houses. We don't seek after the land. That's not our motivation. The writer just said all he wanted was just the what? The crumbs. Notice the wording. He did not want to eat at the table of the rich man. All he wanted was the crumbs. Enough to just get by. Huh? Enough to give the body what it needed in order to sustain life. Isn't that the truth? I'm trying to get you to understand it. All you want to do is do enough to let this body sustain life. Don't occupy your mind trying to, you know, this is a message to me saying, Stephen, don't occupy your days trying to, you know, focus on how you look, you know, what you drive in. These are the things that the world focuses on, and they give no regard to their soul. Read a little bit more. I'm going to let you go.
Says here, Jesus was fell from the rich man's table.
Yeah, more of the dogs. That's problems. That's problems. Huh? Yeah. Since Jackie was talking about, nobody asked for that. Right. The devil knows we need heat. Yeah. Huh? Right. Devil knows you need heat. Yeah. Huh? Devil knows that the weather is getting colder. Yeah. But do you think they care about them? No, they don't. No. They just want their money. Right. Yeah, they'll throw your gas bill up real high. Gas bill and water bill, all these bills, electric, they know these things. They know they're not increasing your money. Isn't that something? They know that they're not increasing your money. They know you're going to have to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul and all this other kind of foolishness. Just so that you can do what? Survive. Isn't that something? Can you find me a program to help me to get my heat paid? No, you make too much money. Make too much money. What's the cutoff? Cutoff is family of four. You can't make more than you got. If you make more than $30,000, good Lord, folk at McDonald's make that. You make too much money. So, okay, let me go cut my money down. And you're still not qualified because you ain't got no job. You ain't got no job. You can't get into this program. Well, if I get a job, I'm going to make too much money. I don't know what to tell you. So what do I do? I don't know. Have some children. I'm too old to have kids. Move your children back in the house with you then. Did everything to put them out. I don't want them living with me no more. I don't know what to tell you. Roll up in the carpet then. Get you some space heaters. But you know the space heaters catch a house on fire. I don't know what to tell you. See, they don't care nothing about who. They don't care nothing about you. They know it's cold. They know it. They know it's cold. Cut the gas. Hurry up and get the gas off before the temperatures drop. Because they know they can't cut you off when the temperatures drop. Hurry up and cut the gas. They run. Cut the gas off. Cut the water off. Cut the electricity off before the temperature drop. Then when the temperature drops, I need my stuff on. We can't help you. You got to wait. You got to wait. Oh, honey, you got to pay a deposit. But my bill is only $100 every month. You got to pay a $1,000 deposit.
Amen.
All they're worried about is themselves. You go there telling them all your problems. The people that make the decisions don't care nothing about that. They can't relate with you. These programs that they create, they're not on these programs. The people that are over these electric companies and the gas companies, they're not on programs. You say, well, my gas bill went up $100. They don't care about anything like that. They could be getting their stuff free. Isn't that something? Here you are struggling to pay for a utility that they get for free just because of the position that they're in. Something to think about, isn't it? But all they're worried about is who? And you want to be friends. You want to be friends with them. Well, I want to be just like. Do you know what you're saying? When you say you just want to be just like them? And it's not just the money that they got. You have to have the same attitude that they have too. You got to have the same values that they have. You got to be very careful what you ask for. Lazarus just wanted the crumbs. Did he get the crumbs? No. Scripture said, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
And it came to pass that the beggar died.
Yeah.
Was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom.
Mm-hmm.
And he cried.
Oh, where was he? Didn't I tell you all he was a crybaby in hell? The wrong place to be the crybaby, right? Send Lazarus. He knew him now. He knew him now. When he was faring sumptuously in his purple, he didn't want no Lazarus. But now he knew Lazarus, right? Wanted to be with Lazarus now, right? Keep going.
Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus
that he may
dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my
tongue.
For I am tormented.
Mm-hmm.
But Abraham said, son, remember that thou and thou
life. Hold up. That's what I wanted y'all to see. I want y'all to see that little phrase right there. What did he do in his lifetime? Huh? Scripture said he fared sumptuously. He was focused on dressing in purple. Huh? He had a plan. He said, I need more space to bestow all of my goods. Huh? This will I do. I will tear down the small and build up greater. That's what he did during his what? Lifetime. Do you know people like that? Yes. I know people like that. I know people just like that. Focused on that. Trying to make that dollar. Huh? Then they tell you that they say, but just come on, you can go work on a Sunday. Why? Because all they want to do is make that dollar. Huh? Throw Jesus to the side. Don't care nothing about no church. Don't care nothing about their soul. You go find the average fella this evening. Tell him, come on in here, we're going to just praise the Lord. Just going to come in here and praise the Lord for a little bit. Man, you must be crazy. It's the Super Bowl. We're going to have a week of prayer next week. Week of prayer when? Next week. Start when? Monday. Monday is Valentine's Day. I guess you're going to throw Jesus to the side so that you can get a heart and some flowers. Huh? Well, I just want one day to take such and such out to dinner. You got 364. Why are you focused on this one? What's so special about this one? Well, you know, this is the day that means so much. There's another day coming called the appointed time.
Right.
Huh? And I'm trying to tell you, you ain't going to heart your way out of it. You're not going to flower your way out of it. Because when he calls, he ain't looking for no box of chocolates. Huh? Huh? He don't want you to dress up in your lingerie. Huh? Huh? He don't want to see your mink. He said, I brought you in here naked. Boom. Get it all off, right? But Jesus, you're going to see me. You think the Lord is concerned about your naked body? That's going back to the dirt. He wants what's in that body. It's called that what? That soul. Somebody say, why did he stay on that cross? Because he saw your soul. If he saw the soul, you need to do what? See the soul. We don't look at people after the flesh anymore. You got to look beyond that. When folk come into your life, you don't look at the flesh anymore. Only thing you're focused on is that what? That soul. Everybody that come through these doors, all I see is a soul. People come to me all the time. Oh, Scott, I did this. All I see is your soul. All I see is the Lord gave you breath and the opportunity to find your way. Get your soul right with Jesus. Get your soul right with Jesus. You say, Scott, you've been telling me that from day one. Is it right yet? Well, I'm working on it. Get your soul right with Jesus. Make your mind up. Get your soul right with Jesus. Then you get the Holy Ghost, you'll be happy. I got the Holy Ghost. Thank Jesus. Keep Jesus now. Keep that thing stirred up inside of you. Don't get sidetracked by what's going on in the earth. That's enough work. I've been saved a long time, over 30 something years. And I'm letting you know, trying to keep my mind on Jesus is enough work. It's enough work. It's enough work. It's enough work. I don't have time to worry about you. I really don't. You say, I just gotta, you watch, I do watch your soul. That's my job. But don't be looking for me to run up and behind you. Because that's not my job. My job is not to see how you're living in your house. My job is not to see what you're watching on your phone. That's your responsibility. I give you the word. Huh? I give you the word. That's on you. How you live, what you do is on you. Huh? You are the one that's going to have to give an account. Huh? For what you have done, what? In this body. Huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's true. If I was in a different church, if I had a different pastor, I would be able to do so much better. Well, maybe you need to go there. Go where you can be the best soul you can be. The Lord sent me here. Well, then act like he sent you here. Act like he sent you here. Act like it. Act like you appreciate him sending you here. Stop trying to change where he sent you. Right? Well, if y'all just did it this way. No. We was doing it this way before you got here. You say the Lord sent you here. Act like he sent you here. Behave yourself. I don't understand. Keep your mouth shut. Ask the Lord to open up your understanding. But if y'all did it this way, we was doing it this way before you got here. Well, you act like you do like the folk did Moses. You act like you're the only one that the Lord can deal with. I'm not the only one. There's other preachers out there. There's other churches all around the city. Why? You trying to tell me to leave? No, I ain't trying to tell you to do nothing. I'm trying to tell you, you're not happy where you are. Go where you can be happy at. You miserable, you want everybody else to be miserable. We was happy before you got here. We had a good old time enjoying Jesus before you got here. Instead of you coming here and get your soul saved, you ain't been nothing but trouble. Because you ain't focused on your soul. You a devil and you want to bring your devilish ways in on holy ground. And I'm trying to tell you, we don't want to live like that. We want to be sanctified. We happy being sanctified. We happy being sanctified. We trust you got something out the word. I had a whole lot more I could have said, but the time is drawn now.